This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we've got a special guest for you. We're joined by Miles of the band Fastball. Miles, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Hey, doing well, doing well. I can't complain. It's great to have you on today's show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So, Miles, you have been making music with this group for the last 20 years now. Tell me, I guess, what is the secret to longevity? Like, how have you guys not, I guess, killed each other or ripped each other's hair out? What makes you guys gel so much as a band?
Well, I don't really know the answer to the last bit of that, but I can tell you that we take long breaks. So, you know, we've had many years where it's pretty chill and there's nothing much going on, you know. We're all friends and stuff and we all see each other, but there's years where we're hardly doing anything, and then there's years where it gets really intense. So for us, I guess that would be the answer to your question, you know, how we do it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And now I know you guys are gearing up for a new tour. Are you excited to hit the road again?
Yeah, totally. It's a bit of it. We just did a few dates last week, and it's kind of a shock to the system at first because we just haven't been out there doing it. And, you know, like, for instance, I'm at the airport right now, flying to New York, and, you know, flight's delayed 2 hours or whatever it is. It's just the ups and downs of the actual travel. I love playing music. Like, music is the best part of the day, for sure. But it's the getting there that's the hard part. So, but once you get into a groove, you kind of become like a barbarian. You just get, you know, where's the stage? Where's the gig? What time are we playing? Where's the late night eats? You just become like this machine. So,
absolutely, absolutely. What do you love most about touring? I know, like, each musician, you know, has, I guess, their little quirks or what they love most about being on the road. How about you? What do you love most about touring?
I just like the chance to do it all again, you know? Like, if we play a show and maybe something didn't go right or maybe something went really right, you can try it again the next night and see if that's actually something that you might want to do every night, you know. It's just little things happen musically that on stage that probably won't happen during a rehearsal. It's strange. It's totally different playing a rehearsal to playing in front of a live audience. There's no comparison, really. So I like that aspect, being able to, it's like, you know, in life you don't really get second chances that often, but when you're on tour, you get every night another opportunity. So that's pretty great. And, you know, I like seeing places I haven't seen before, things like that.
Very nice, very nice. Do you have any pre-festival or pre-show rituals that you do to kind of help you unwind?
Hey, you mean after the gig's done?
Yeah, or beforehand to kind of get you in the mindset. I mean, I don't know. You've been together for 20 years, so I don't know if you get nervous.
Nervous isn't really the word, but it's just trying to get into a groove of feeling like playing music. It should be a celebration. So it's not so much nervousness that I'm afraid of. I'm more afraid of boredom. I'm more afraid of just walking on there and kind of just playing the gig. I don't like to be that way. I like to kind of get myself excited before I get out there. But that's, you know, I don't really have any specific formula for it. I just start thinking about the show. I try to clear the runway, so to speak, and make sure everything's out of the way by the time an hour before the show. And then I just start, I might warm up a little bit on the guitar, or maybe not. Maybe I'll just play, I like to play music, other people's music, really loud. And AC/DC live, If You Want Blood, You Got It, is kind of my favorite kind of pre-show blasting loud music to the fuck out there.
Very nice, very nice. Tell me about this new album. I know you guys have a new album set to be released on May 19th, so, just over 2 weeks. Tell me about, you know, like what the writing process was like for you on that album and everything.
The record came together really quickly because we were going to go on this tour, and it was a hard deadline, and we had to, there wasn't a lot of time to, So it was kind of boiled down to what songs do you have that are ready to go right now? And I guess we had about 15 or 16 tunes, and a couple of them we didn't make the record for whatever reason, but we made the record in 2 weeks, so it's definitely a land speed record for fastball, you know. And it was cool. I like the results, and I might have to try to make one in a week now, because something about the lack of reflection and the lack of kind of navel gazing, I think, gives the record a real intensity.
Absolutely, absolutely. Would you say, so it wasn't, the process wasn't arduous at all?
Well, the actual recording was arduous because we were putting in, 10-hour, 12-hour days, and it was every day with no break for 2 weeks. So that definitely was arduous. Typically, you would do 5 or 6 days on and maybe have a day off. But we didn't have the luxury of time, so we had to just crank it out. And the songs were pretty much written for the most part. There was a couple we worked on, but for the most part, they were all done. And what I liked best about it was just, I hadn't played with those guys in a couple of years, and we got together in terms of recording. We certainly it's been a long time since we recorded anything. And we got in a room and just started playing, and the fastball sound was right there. So that was kind of nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. With the album, are you pleased with the end result of the album? I know that, this was something that you put in together rather quickly. But overall, are you pleased with how the...
Yeah, I'm very pleased. In fact, it might be our best record. I don't know. Lots of people like Harsh Lie Today. That one is not my favorite. obviously, the big album, All the Pain Money Can Buy, has all the hits. Lots of people tell me that, that's a classic record. But I really think, just from the last three albums, I think each one has been really good. You know, it's hard to say we're on a roll, given that they were spaced out over the over the course of like 10 years, But the last three records, Keep Your Wig On, Little White Lies, and then this one, I think are all really strong. And so I don't know which one I think is the... Right now, this one's my favorite, which is good, because I have to go out and promote it.
I hear you. What's the biggest takeaway that you want listeners to get from this new album? I know that this is, the first album that you guys, have had out in a while, and, for this tour. What do you want people to get most from this new album?
Oh, I don't really think about it like that. I mean, whatever they want, whatever they get out of it, put it on and hopefully they'll enjoy it. Hopefully it'll take them somewhere else. But, it's not like there's any deep messages really on there or anything, It's just rock and roll. It's just a rock and roll record. So I don't really kind of once it's recorded, it's out of my hands. Once we put it out, I can't do anything about it, whether people like it or don't like it, or whether it makes an impact or not. I have no control whatsoever over that. I just have to go out and play, basically.
Absolutely, absolutely. I see what you mean. When you first started out, 20 some odd years ago, did you ever envision that you would have the success and that you'd be able to go and do different things that you've never done before? Because I know, like, you've been, you know, nominated twice for a Grammy, and you guys have toured the world. But when you first started Fastball, did you realize, I guess, the magnitude of what you guys were doing?
You kind of just have to take it one day at a time. I mean, I always dreamed we'd be doing what we're doing. And I think dreaming is a very important first step. I think people sometimes are a little too realistic with their lives, you know? No one knows how amazing your life can actually be, but you have to be willing to you have to be willing to dream and be a little unrealistic. I've never had that problem. I've always had a kind of grandiose, delusional aspect of my personality, so that was never a problem. Making it a reality is a whole different story, and you just have to have faith, really. I don't know. We just did it. At the time, there were days where you're just like, what are we doing? You know, this isn't going anywhere. And there were definitely dark nights of the soul, but every day's a new day. You just get up and do it again. You know, we love what we do, so it's not a problem in that sense. You know, it's better than some people work a job they despise, and I just couldn't imagine fighting traffic to get somewhere that you can't stand and just waiting. That phrase, TGIF, I've never understood. I was like, man, if you had to live that way, you might take a long, hard look in the mirror. But many people don't have a choice, you know. I don't know. Life is what life is. You know, I've been very fortunate, and I'm not trying to say that. I realize how lucky I've been, I guess, what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're so right. I mean, it's a reality for so many people, and I guess, you know, you don't really think about it like that all the time, but yeah, you know, a lot of people are, you know, stuck in dead-end jobs, like, that they, you know, that they don't like doing, and it's kind of like this, you know, repetitive cycle, you know, of just, you know, getting up and rushing, like you said, to a place that they hate, but I think that's
why there's so many damn Facebook posts, because people are at work, and they're just sitting there at their job, just whiling away the time until it's time to leave, you know, until it's time to go home. That's where you see all this. Most of the time, the people I know that have to work a 9-to-5, they're the ones that post the most on Facebook, because anyone who's got free time, they're not sitting down in front of, well, I guess some people are, but I don't waste my day sitting at home Facebooking all day, you know. It's sun is
absolutely
shining. Let's go have some fun.
You're so right. Well, Miles, I just want to, man, it's been awesome talking to you. And I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to open the floor to you.
Anything I want to say?
Yeah, absolutely. I know.
I don't really have any
random questions.
I don't have any, you know, I don't really have anything I feel like saying. I was going to say now's a good time to fly United, because they post the PR debacle that they had when they dragged the guy off the plane. I flew United on Sunday, and they were so nice. They were so nice. I asked them, they were like, I don't think that bag's going to fit in the overhead. And then I said, I think it will. And they're like, okay. But I stopped short of endorsing them, because now they've delayed our flight. They just keep pushing it back. So they won't tell you, like, no, this plane isn't leaving until much later. What they do is just incrementally shove it back a half hour at a time, which is maddening, because I could just go home and chill out of my house and then come back whenever the plane's actually leaving. But they just keep slowly. It's like dating a compulsive liar.
Yes, absolutely.
Anyhow, I'm just rambling now. I don't know if you want to broadcast that or not, but
no, it's cool. Yeah, you're right. And I actually saw the other day where United is hiring for like social media and PR people.
They need some of those.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny, so to speak. But yeah, hopefully things get a lot better with company. I don't know what's going on with flight attendants. Do you have any crazy, flight stories?
Oh, I have a great one, actually. It changed my whole life. So I was flying home one time, and I was living in Berkeley, but I was flying to Austin for Christmas, and my girlfriend had broken up with me, and I'd moved out to Berkeley to be with her, and I was kind of just at this weird crossroads in my life and didn't know what I was going to do. I hadn't started fastball yet. I was kind of feeling lost, and I went to fly. Greg Allman was on my plane, and
wow.
he looked amazing. It was like 7:30 in the morning, and everybody looks like a normal person except Greg Allman was like the shining biker angel. He had on aviator shades and all these tattoos and his long flowing blonde hair. He just looked some sort of gypsy Christ figure. And he actually came down the aisle to take a leak, and I was sitting right there, you know, and he's standing in a line, and our eyes met, and I said, "Hey man, I love your music." And he said, "All right, brother." And he ended up sitting, there was an empty seat next to me, he ended up sitting down for a minute to talk to me, and it was so great, and I was feeling kind of low, and I was just saying, "I don't know what I should do." He goes, "Just start another band, man, that's what I would do."
Wow.
He's like, "Sure, do it," and I just thought it was like some sort of divine intervention. I know it sounds corny, but I really do. I felt that was a pretty great moment for me. And after that, I did, you know, it took a few months, but after that, I did start fastball. And, you know, the rest is history. So that, thank you, Greg Allman.
Absolutely. Well, Miles, it's been awesome talking to you.
All right.
By the way. And, I just wanted to thank you so much again.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was fun.
Where can our listening audience find out more about you guys and keep abreast of what you're doing?
Just go to fastballtheband.com. It's the best place. And also, if you're on Facebook, search for Fastball the Band and you'll find us. You know, and we have Twitter and we also have Instagram. So pick your poison. I personally think the website or the Facebook are probably the ones that get the most frequent updates. And, we'll see you out there on the road.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks so much, Walter.
You're welcome. You have a great day.
Okay. You too, man. Cheers.
Cheers. Guys, that was Miles from Fastball. Make sure to check out their newest album. It'll be out May 19th. We'll put a link to their website in the body of this post. If you're listening to us on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also available on your mobile phone or your mobile device. Just download the Stitcher Smart Radio app. It's available for free in the iOS store. Download the app, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You hear this interview with Miles. We're also available on Google Play. If you've got Google Play, like if you're an Android user, just go to the Google Play store, search Google Play Music, search for our show name. You'll hear this interview with Miles. Lastly, we're on Roku. If you've got a Roku player or a Roku smart television, you can listen to us by just go into the Roku channel store, search for our name. Once you search for our name, you can download the app, and then you'll be able to listen to over 200-plus hours of original content, programming, and interviews, all free of charge.
This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.